patterning in your upper chakras like that. And that's just then Karen's living your seventh chakra. Because they're the gods, right? You come into the world and they are the manifesting gods, and whatever their predilections are, that's what the gods do. You know, if they're violent or they're loud or they're terrible or they're loving or whatever they are, that's the way the world is. And you unconsciously repattern that every day by allowing that the light to come through that filter. So as long as they're in your seventh chakra, and those rules haven't changed, as long as they haven't changed, there's no way to change those patterns. And so you still, even though you're against them, being against something doesn't ever get you anywhere in your life. You're still stuck dealing with their level of whatever it is. Love, socioeconomic level, how much they spent time with you. All of the things that your parents downloaded into you are in there until you go back and create an experience that's so real that totally at first just takes it off balance and then eventually replaces it. Do you mind going outside with that? That meditation, to me, first of all, I made it up and then I used it on myself and I was like, oh my God, this is like stuff that's like so difficult to get at psychologically. Even in healing work, because it's so hard to go back to your childhood without rewounding, right? The whole problem with the way inner child work is done, as far as I'm concerned, is most people do it from the perspective of let's go back and you're safe and creating a safe. It's like you can't. What you need to do is you need to either repattern it back there, what we're doing, or really bring the child up to now and just say let's experience my childhood from here, from this powerful place. So we blend this together. If you prepare yourself to be the guides, and you may even want to like take it even further rather than just having their behavior, really you're going further and like know which guides are guiding your parents. It's like, I'm going to give you your guides that are going to guarantee that this happens. And these are the truth of what you're going to do. And I don't know if this is going to actually, I don't really know if what we're actually doing is repatterning their future life either. I don't really care, because it's really just about us. That experience of our reality and what love is and being able to ask for what we really want means that we have to, because the first 20 times you do it, you don't really ask for what you want. You just kind of, or maybe the first 5 or 10 times you do it, you're kind of asking for what you knew you didn't get. Yeah. Right? Which is very different than what you want. Right. It takes time to figure out what you want when you can actually get what you want. But you knew you didn't get this, so you'll ask for that. And that's a good place to start. But it's really an evolution of, I need to do this enough times that there's more of that memory in my head than the memory of my mother or my father always being the way they were.
And I've actually found in my resistance that the more resistant you are to it, the more you might want to do it.
Because I resisted it. I was like, absolutely no good way would I do this. Are you kidding me? No. And that's so when I found that was anytime I'm that resistant to anything, that's my edge. And so yeah, so I did it, and this really was profoundly changing for me. So it really was powerful because I have a different kind of relationship with all of my parents, my stepdad and my biological father and my mom, than I ever did, could have possibly had without having done this.
And it's really important to do with dead parents too. Yep. They still run the show. I mean, until you do this type of work, you're either like your parents or you're against them. I mean, it's nice to say that all the healing work I've done, I'm all good, I'm good with my parents, I've forgiven them. No, you haven't. They still make all your choices for you. You just have sort of come to terms with the fact that you can't make a choice outside of that box. And then when you do this work, you start realizing, I'm starting to make choices in my relationships and in where I'm going to live and what kind of work I'm going to do or what I'm going to see as valuable. All of a sudden, things start shifting in a new way because that light, so much more light comes through rather than having to filter through and check in with your parents before it comes in. Yeah?
Two things. First thing is, where's Archana? I don't like that she's not here. She left when we were before. When she said when we were talking about when you're comfortable or not comfortable when you're going to sleep.
We'll check it.
Is she okay?
I think she's here. Okay.
Maybe she's here.
We'll text her.
And then the second thing I want to many years ago, I had to do an asset list, and I couldn't write anything down on my asset list. I just didn't have anything that I wrote.
You have to speak up.
Many years ago, I had to write an asset list for myself and my assets. That was the assignment, and I didn't have anything, and I had to have the asset list tomorrow. I can make good chocolate chip cookies, I'm the only thing on the list, and that was because my mother taught me how to make chocolate chip cookies, so it wasn't even mine. So I called my brother-in-law, and he was the kindest man I've ever met, and he said, so why don't you sit with that for a while? And then after that he said, Jane, the way that you build self-esteem is to live up to your own principles. My own principles. Not my mother's principles was what the unsaid part of that sentence was. And it occurred to me that I had my mother on this great big pedestal, and she'd been dead for a long time, you know, right? And I was never going to get there because my perception of who she had been and was way more than I could ever accomplish with her knowledge of what she learned, my big fat mess. Who I am. And so when I let myself and my mother off the hook and was able to move up to my own principles, and then I made amends to my dead mother, the transformation of my relationship with her and myself was more profound than anything I could ever express here.
How was her relationship with your dad?
My dad.
That was her relationship with your dad. This is the other piece of this.
How was my mom and my dad's relationship? Mm-hmm. Is that the question? Well, my mom ran the household, and my dad ran my mom in a very quiet way. And
okay.
He did that with a bucket.
I bring that up because this is the other piece of this. You can recreate, because right now you don't have a model for how to get out of your relationship.
Right.
Okay.
My mom died out of her relationship.
Right, and you will too. If you don't make a choice, a new choice other than the one your mom made.
Right.
So I want you to see that. You know, so the baby steps is, hey, I like my mom again. The big steps are, my mom and dad programmed my marriage relationships, all the way I do my friends, how I, you know, everything I do, what I feel is who's valuable in the relationship. And you can and will and need to recreate all of those relationships too. See your father serving your mother, see your, or whatever you would need, whatever you would desire, whatever you want them to do, whatever you would want to see as a healthy relationship, and then it becomes so clear that that is the truth, that it's going to be impossible for you, because the thing about pain is that as long as someone only gives us this much more than we're used to, we'll take it. Okay? And the pain that you had watching your mom and your dad do their little game, okay, was horrible. It's that, and it's probably, and your pain that you're in with right now with Howie is probably just this much worse. It's worse, but not that much worse that you can actually say, I got to get out, and I'm gonna do what my mom did, just put up with it. You know, it's just what a good person does, and you stay in it for the kids, and you do whatever the rationale was that they had, and you still, in some way, you've made that rationale yours, but there's no good reason for it. So the next piece is, you know, great to have your relationship with your mom. Let's recreate that relationship because that's what you need in your life right now. That piece of your parenting didn't leave you any options then. Does that make sense?
I came to school because I was dying. And I thought, this would fix my relationship.
It did. It's about to. It's lots of ways to fix things. But that's the whole piece of this that team player in you can't. It's like you didn't come to fix any relationship. Okay, you're not coming here to get divorced. It's all about him. As long as it's all about him, you're missing what you're going to have to do all those things. Those things will all happen when you are willing to hold that sort of truth within you, that power within you that we were talking about yesterday, that what's the goal? What do you need to have within you to be able to make decisions like that? Like that, not that decision, because that decision can be sort of bolstered up and been angry and get angry about it, you can do it. Okay? You want to walk away with the ability to make that level decision in your life around everything in your life. Because your daughter's going to be no different, your job is going to be no different. You're going to have to make those kind of decisions from now on in your life. And your battle with Howie, and I'm talking to everybody here, because everybody has someone to use as an excuse for not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Okay? And it's not because of them. And when you do get rid of them, you're just going to replace them with somebody else because that's already in the pattern with your mom, with your dad, with all the stuff. So repatterning your parents is really helpful, especially when you're in this relationship. But you're also getting to that place where you're just like, I'm done. You know, and I know you know the answer to what you need to do. It's a matter of what do you need to do it? Do you need more energy? Do you need more permission? I don't think anybody in here is not going to give you permission to start to call a lawyer today. Yeah, but that's it. It's a decision making a decision. Alan Watts. Said that he talks about making a decision is what we do when we know what we're supposed to do, but we're unwilling to do it. So nobody has to make a decision. We always know exactly what we're supposed to do. We just have to say, well, I have to make a decision on this because you're afraid to make the decision and see what happens that you know you have to do anyway. And making a decision just drags it out and makes it more painful. So part of this is you've been waiting a long time. You've been making this decision for years, okay, and it's not getting anywhere. And yes, working with the parents, doing a meditation like this is really important. But at some point, you just have to say, this is the year that I take back my life. I'm starting with doing something I know I need to do, and then there's other things that are lesser things I know I need to do that will then pop up after that. You understand? So, or you can start with little ones, but it's usually the big ones that the best one to go after, and you know you need to do it, and it's just a matter of, you know, one foot in front of the other on this one. So, all right, who else has got anything? What about work from the meditation? Working on your mom, dad?
Oh, this, no.
What? What was crazy? Do it. Anything. What? Anything you got.
Yesterday with the bowls last night, I was really messed up from it. Because I couldn't understand it. Like, I thought I was supposed to feel like the bowls and, you know,
second one, and the second chakra, and then talk to my seventh chakra, and then before we start the healing, Lisa was talking, and I got triggered, and I had a great healing.
So, not all of you do follow me on other things that I teach. So I want to just say it here. Healing doesn't happen in the room when you're doing the healing. Healing is about increasing your energy field. When you increase your energy field, what happens is that something comes to you over the next week, month, year that you then notice, make a priority, hear for the first time, understand for the first time, that you couldn't have understood from a lower level of consciousness. So, as if you're going to master healing, you have to get used to the idea that a real healing doesn't either makes you more painful or doesn't do anything at the moment. But if it's really healed you, it's shifted something in you and you can't figure it out. It's done something that you can't, it makes no sense to you at all. Because the reason you can't heal what you have is because you don't understand it at all. And so when the healing comes, you won't understand that either. So the idea that someone's going to lay their hands on you and all of a sudden you're going to be better, the only thing that will come out of that is you thinking they did it. So a real healing is when a healer knows enough to set you up with enough energy that you will then have to make the choice to heal yourself later. And when you do, you'll take full responsibility for the healing and you won't give the healer any of it. Because you'll know you did it yourself.
And that's one of the reasons we look for signs, too. Hmm? One of the reasons we look for signs at house, too.
Right. It's so important to get. And how is it that you've been in here 3 years and you haven't realized that the bulls never play where they're supposed to play? And what you got to understand is that wherever you feel the bull is exactly where you're supposed to feel it, right? If the second chakra's up here, you know, and if it's painful, you know, you don't believe what your second chakra is telling you need. Right? It's telling you, I need this. This is what I want. I really want this. And your brain's saying, like, la, 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 la. I don't believe it. Right side. It's I don't listen to ration. You know, that's a rational argument my second chakra has. And I can't let that end. It's too, it doesn't work. So that if after bowls are done playing, you walk out a little disoriented, you can't figure things out, like you did. Now, today, you had the healing, and you were in a different place to receive the healing.
Well, why didn't I miss the healing? I just, words she said was like the aha that I needed, that was the domino effect that I didn't know why I started crying. Everything was leading up to this. I knew it on some level, but it was just enough to push me over to do my own releasing that I needed to do.
And that's exactly the healing. That's what healing is. So the healing was the bowl started a higher rep. You had to get to that higher place, which is uncomfortable for you to be at by its nature. You're comfortable not having any energy. Everybody, whatever level your energy is, everybody has a different level of energy here. Everybody's got a different battery here. Some of you have a little more energy than others. But you're all comfortable at that level. But whatever that level is, you're dealing with life at that level. And the things you can't deal with at that level, if you don't raise your energy, you can't deal with. So you have to raise the energy, which is going to make you feel uncomfortable. Because now it's like, the uncomfortable is that things are going to change. You know inside when you raise your energy that you're going to change. And so the reason you don't raise your energy consistently, and the reason you go and you sort of get a great healing, it's like, oh, I love that healing, and then I'm going to go back for another one, that's not really raising your energy, because it just opened the chakra, and then you closed it before it actually any real energy came out. So this time, you left it open, you got angsty enough that you kind of like, what the hell? And you couldn't write yourself, which kept them open. And then you had enough energy to hear a word that just triggered and just pulled it all together. And then you healed yourself. But it comes from doing bowls, doing meditations, doing these types of things, really, you know, working on that. These meditations that I'm giving you, the bowls, if you're not doing them every day, or a few times a week at least, why? You know, what's so good about the energy level you've got right now?
Well, I listen to the bowl, but my, I think, point of it, it's like, it was safe for me to do it. Like, I don't think I could have done it on my own. You know what I'm saying?
Like, well, now maybe you can.
Yeah.
So the 12 tones, that just that one little set of like 12 one-minute tones with the names at the end, if you use that just twice a week, you would have a vocabulary of your energy field, and it would start increasing your energy field consistently, because you'd be practicing navigating those energies. The meditation we did yesterday, the morning meditation, preps these chakras to be open and keep them open, because they're looking for something now. You feed them the ability to look for something, rather than the brain that just says, God, I hope something changes in my life. You know, rather than, okay, it could come in every one of these dimensions. And then at the end of the day, which we're going to do in a few minutes, I'm going to do the nighttime meditation, where you then go back through the chakras and ask yourself, what did you do and how did you sabotage it? And then what are you going to do tomorrow? You know, how do you then keep this moving without sort of forgetting about it? It's like, I had a goal, so go back to your goal, then look at what happened, look what happened today. What did you experience today? So you experienced a real transformation. So where was that? So as we go through the chakras, you're like, God, that was right in my heart. That was right in my sixth chakra. I got a whole new vision of what healing is for me and how I'm the one who has to do it. Because we're really taught, I really feel, you know, strongly that we are programmed, just like we're programmed by our parents, and we probably should do this with our doctors and the system and everything as well, and probably eventually we will. But we're programmed to believe that we can't heal ourselves.
Not true.
No. We're programmed as a culture. Mm-hmm. And it's not true.
Right.
You're right. It's not true.
Yeah.
But as a matter of fact, no one's ever healed you of anything. Okay? Even when the doctor takes something out or does something, the actual coming back into homeostasis, which is a balance in your system, is something that you have to do. And nobody can do that for you, because no one's ever done it the way you do it. You have a unique system. And so taking that responsibility early on and really breaking that code, that belief, is so important. And you're doing it, little piece by little piece by little piece. But the more you practice that, the more you let the dominoes fall, the more you believe that you're capable of doing anything in your life.
Yes.
You are. I mean, this is what this course is about. It's like, you know, it's scary to believe that you can do anything in your life. But one of those things, that the anything in your life can also be choosing to see that even though you've invested 30 years, 40 years, you know, whatever it is, 20 years into something, it's never fed you. And walking away from it. That's like, rather than everybody thinking, well, I'll go for the new thing, forget the new thing. You know, what don't you have a chakra for? And then honoring that, that calls back all the energy. When you actually really are willing to say what you don't have a chakra for, you can then go back to your everywhere where you tried to be that person, and you all that energy comes back to you now. That increases your field. So that act of doing that, rather than doing it like a submissive act, which is, I guess I don't have a chakra for that, right? Which means that you haven't actually realized that you don't have a chakra for that. It's like you don't have a third leg. You don't have a second head. You don't have a problem with that. But it's no different. The fact that you tried to put another head on there, and you kept it on there for so long, and it doesn't mean it ever did anything for you. And you have to let it go as if it never existed, and it was just a total illusion in your mind that you ought to have that. And that's real power. And when you do that, all those interactions where you fought for that, broke up relationships for that, hated friends for that, did everything, that thing, all of that insanity that went along with that stupid idea that you could be something that you could never be, comes back to you. That's the power of this work. And that's why you have to take it piece at a time. You have to really work your chart. You have to, when something like this comes up, you have to do it and then take it back in your life and see where it even started and then call back that energy. You know, some of my favorite work was Carlos Castaneda's work. And he, one of the things that that I used to do, and I've still got all my charts and things that I did for years, he called it a recapitulation. And in a recapitulation, you start right now and you go back through your life, and every relationship you've ever had, no matter how small, you write on a piece of paper, and you write it down, you go hundreds, 200s, 300s people, and you go back through your life, and you pull your energy out of every relationship that you've ever had. And you recognize, you feel what was left in that relationship. And these are like high school friends and grade school friends and people that stick with you. Of course, the ones you can't remember don't matter. But the teachers you had, everything counts. You left a piece of you in so many places that it's really difficult to then later on have enough energy to do something. And you don't have to just put the bad ones. Even your little buddies that you liked and then sort of fell apart, friends, you left something in that relationship. It was like there was something missing there, you know. So, but that kind of work, this kind of work is not something that I can teach you all of it, right? It's, you have to constantly be looking for opportunity to go deeper rather than hoping that whatever I teach you here is going to be enough. It's not. It's never going to be enough. Because all I'm doing is raising your energy enough to see what you actually have to do. Right? That's all this work is doing. Every time you do a meditation or a healing or whatever, we're just raising energy higher, and then you've got to go find it. You've got to, because it's not hard to find. It's so trying to get to you right now. But you're down here. It's going up there. It's like going, come on, just jump a little. All right. So, we can talk about Brita.
I just have a thing. Yeah. Problem, where are you going to call? Where are you going to call? If we have to hold it, because I felt it. I just wanted to know. So I didn't really want to do this meditation because it's my least favorite, and I think it because there's too much emotion in me that I don't want to experience. It has taken me back to my childhood. It's not a happy place for me. And I've heard before saying, I can't, like, live my life as a child. I lived through my CI because that was my only way to escape what was happening. So as an adult, I can't conjure up going back there through my CI and just imagining it's all rosy because I'm never going to heal it. Like, I lived through the imaginary world when I was growing up. I don't want to go back there and do that again because I can't feel that way.
Okay.
So.
Okay, so is it true?
Is what true?
Is it true that you don't have the power to do something different than you've always done?
I can't process very well right now, so.
Okay, but I need you to get this. What you're doing right now is your excuse for not doing anything in your life. This way you're using poor me as a weapon against change is what you came in the program to deal with. And it has an incredible rationalization as to why you shouldn't ever do, you shouldn't ever have those feelings. But you understand that you did lower self, higher self work last year, right? Every negative emotion has a reason that you have it, and it's the real power in your body. Your fear of your poor me, of your overwhelm, of your victimization, keeps you focusing completely on the negative element of the lower self, that lower self, rather than seeing that. That same energy that you just decided to completely just say fuck you to this exercise is the exact same passion that you can say, of course I pick my life. Nobody picks my life for me. You know exactly what you wanted when you were a child. Exactly. The reason that you're so wounded is because you knew exactly what you wanted. The people that were wounded by their parents were just numb. You weren't numb. You were super not numb. And so you knew exactly what you wanted, and now if you go to ask for it, it means that you're going to have to go freaking do it in your life. And that means that you have to stop forevermore being a poor me. You can't use this excuse ever again. There is no excuse for you to play small. you're an amazing, amazing person. You have an incredible pattern for using your victim to avoid making change. What chakra do you have your victim in? First chakra. What do you have in the second chakra? What's the name of your victim? Have you renamed it yet?
We haven't even gotten it yet. Okay.
My second is the
neglected child.
Second is what? Neglected child.
Okay. All right. So, your child. I can see that your child is in the second chakra. I don't want you to get rid of the word neglected because it doesn't do you any good at all. It just reinforces the fact that you're a victim. Your child is all of the energy you need to live your purpose. It is in your second chakra. Your fear of your second chakra, your fear of having any need at all beyond what you're already being given, is kicking your ass. It's run your life. It's run everything. Everything that's ever come up in class has come to this, and then you stop. And this year, this is the thing you got to break. Because you're infinitely stronger than that. You're so strong that you can take almost anything, any weapon I give you to kill any of these things, and you're like, I can kill that with my fear. So you're so strong you can avoid doing the work here.
Well, I'm definitely strong.
Right, but so I want you to see that your second chakra is the child energy. Not the wounded child. The child energy, which is the soul energy, which has never been wounded. Okay, so if you got your child in the second chakra, that means you've never been wounded emotionally. That was a story. And I know that this is hard. But I'm talking to you because there's a lot of people in here that have used emotional wounding in a lot of different ways. And when you stand up and say, never again, not against my parents, not against anybody, the fact that your first chakra, if you got your victim in the first chakra, and the victim was your parents, you know, not giving you what you need for some, you know, which none of us got what we needed, whatever it was for you, that victim in there, the victorious is, I never needed it. Right?
And trying to apply that to what you're saying to.
So when you realize that your victim's in your first chakra, right? And this is a first chakra exercise, you did the first chakra, what did you want? What did you actually, what kind of environment did you want your parents to create for you? What did they want? What unique quality within you did you want them to see? You couldn't do the exercise.
I did it, but it really
right.
My ass.
Right, and so what did you want? What did you want your parents to see you as?
I didn't have any problem with my mom.
Okay.
It was fine.
Okay, that's fine. So don't bother doing it work with your mom anymore. Work it with your dad if you can't do it with your dad. So what do you want your dad to see you as? What couldn't you ask him to do? Because this is where it always comes down to. So remember with this exercise, anything you can't do in the exercise is where you haven't forgiven. Okay? So and forgiveness, the resentment. And Veronica decides to die. Vitriol that we love to have. It's like so good. It's so good to hate. It so makes our lives worthwhile by hating someone who did something. And if I ever forgave them, it would mean, if I ever let that person off the hook, it would mean that I condoned their behavior. And so that's what lack of forgiveness is. Lack of forgiveness is, I'd rather stay painful and angry and stuck, then let them off the hook because they don't deserve it. So what was the thing you couldn't ask from your dad?
He wasn't there.
He wasn't there. So you couldn't just make up a story and create in your mind where he was literally working out of the house and the only thing he wanted to do besides work was play with you.
I
I couldn't get there because the time he wasn't there, and when he was there.
But when you're in charge of your life, which would mean this is like this exercise is, are you willing to take charge of your life at all? So this is just a story to tell, an emotional game we play. And if you can't do it in your head, your dad still makes all your decisions around masculine power. Okay? And so this masculine power that you need to take to do this exercise is why we do the exercise. You understand that? So just understand that that's a huge realization. And it doesn't mean you can't do it. It means that you've got to go back and go after it harder. And because letting your dad, who was never there for you and never gave you what you needed, and never was that, you know, letting that person be the decision maker in your life going forward is dangerous for you. And has been forevermore. Because you never get to actually have masculine decision-making power in your life. Because you didn't integrate your dad into you. You rejected him and all of his energy that went with it, right? But you have half your dad's energy. You just haven't used it. This is what I want you to understand. When you're doing this exercise, you're not dealing with your mom and your dad. You're dealing with the fact that you have half your mom's energy and half your dad's energy in you. Not half of their energy. You have all of their energy. You have your entire dad in you. You have your entire mom in you. Okay? It just happens to be half and half for you. So you're twice as strong as your parents were. Every child is twice as strong as their parents are. They have both parents' energy. That's why every generation is evolving much quicker. We're evolving. It's like where people were, the level of intent, the level of intelligence that was around 1,000 to 2,000 years ago, and the level it's now, is like it's because of the evolution of souls, not because we're trickier in our science. So you are twice as strong as your parents, and you're not doing this exercise to go back and heal your childhood. You're doing this exercise to teach yourself how to use the energy that you knew was already in your parents.
And I have that, and I'm aware of it, and I do use it. And
yeah.
That's not the problem. The big problem is with relationships. Because he was an example, and that poor example keeps showing up.
Wait.
Can I just share something?
Sure.
A month ago, my stepmother dropped a bomb on me and said, oh, yeah, by the way, your dad fathered a child when he was a year old, and he fathered another one who, by the way, was in your class, and there's a picture of you with her, of the four of you. Remember when you broke your arm and there were four of you with broken arms in that picture? And she was
like, okay. And what does that mean to you? What story do you make around that?
My story is
that he should have been the way you wanted him to be, or he should have been the way he was, and you should have learned how to live your life around that.
My story is that how do I trust that any man that I meet isn't going to be that way, who's not going to be drunk and abusive and absentee and out screwing women.
How about you give it a shot? Would you? I understand what's happened, what goes on, and when you have this, but. Just the thing about, you got two other siblings, right? Have you reached out to find them? Why? Because you hate your father. Because you would rather hate your father than realize that your father gave you two more brothers and sisters that are on the planet, and you got more family to check out. I would love to find out that my mom was like had somebody else. I'm like, what? I got a brother somewhere. Another. Let's fun. This could be fun. This is like my life. You don't get shit like that. That's like a freaking soap opera. You get to have like a soap opera life for a while.
I want a soap opera life.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You've had one. you got to take advantage of what you have. It's like you got to milk your life for all it's worth. That's freaking gold. You want to advance your life? Just figure out what you've got and make it the greatest thing that ever happened to you. What happens if those brothers and sisters are the ones that will teach you how to love your father in a whole different way? They teach you something about him that you never even knew. What if they're the one key to that for you? This is what I'm talking about. You've got to take your life back. You play victim in here, out there. And I mean, we've just talked about four different things that you're a victim of that now leave you unable to even go into a relationship and find a man. Hell, if you go into a relationship with a guy and he starts cheating on you, kick him in the balls and walk out the fucking door.
Yeah.
Go Robin.
Right? Right?
And we'll come out.
And this is not going to be the first guy she went out with.
What's that?
I think
listen. It's like, what's your? So anyway, we don't want to spend too much time, but I want you to really understand, because you can see how Robin's stuck here. You're all stuck in the same way somewhere, somehow in your life, and it gets back to this meditation is actually where it starts and finishes. Okay, because if you had the parents that saw in you the ability to make tough decisions, strong decisions, set your boundaries, do all these things, which you could practice with your father because he holds that boundary energy, right? And you know he holds that boundary energy because he didn't have boundaries. He had the capacity to do that because that was your relationship with him. You set that up and you start building that inside of yourself. You're like, oh, let's go test this out. Let's go test out the new car. Let's do this. Rather than, again, I can't do this, and I can't trust myself, I can't trust men, I can't do these things. But that means your dad's still making choices for you. Or the dad that you hate is still making choices for you. You understand?
Yeah.
And whatever it is, around money for some of you, or around your job, or around other relationships, or whatever it is, it's like, folks, you don't have that much more time.
Can you repeat? We don't do this meditation to go back and heal your childhood?
You don't do this meditation to go back and heal your childhood. You do this meditation
to take the energy from
your parents that you vowed not to use because they did it wrong. And remember, the child can't tell the difference between energy and behavior. So the child says, I'll never be like my mother. And so what you do is this half of your entire energy now is off limits to you because of one stupid behavior by your mother. One stupid choice of your father that you can't ever forgive him for, because he gives you the right to not own your real power and your masculine in your body. Because if you owned that, what the fuck would you be doing in your life right now rather than this?
So tell him to fucking let it go. Stop it. Why did it just hit me?
I think in order for you to, I feel like you need to take your storyteller from your fifth chakra and invite it into that meditation and make up a new story about your father and your mother. That's your gift, really. So give it to yourself. You can do that.
Everybody here. Is there anybody besides Robin that can't see that your parents gave you everything you'll ever need to live your purpose?
Is there anyone that
can't see that? This is my problem, because I always assume since I went over with you this in the first year, I always figure, well, everybody must get this,
yeah,
right?
No.
You pick your parents. Because the only thing you needed was their energy to live your purpose. You had to choose two people, two completely crazy-ass people, to get the energy to blend, to give your soul the perfect vehicle to live your purpose. Right? Yeah.
I'm listening to this, and I don't know, maybe I'm walking somewhere, but I honestly can't think of anything about my parents that I feel like is causing me problems today, that screwed me up somehow. I just can't. I just don't think anything.
So you're not. So what do you have problems with? That if so you don't see. So what? What do you have problems with? You don't have to. This exercise. Listen. Not every exercise is what you need. I give you 100 different ones.
Right.
Right? So what are you not doing in your life right now that you want to do?
Can't stand my job.
What?
Can't stand my job.
Can't stand your job. What do you want to do? Now what are you against? What do you want to do?
I don't know. How
okay.
I'm doing now.
Okay, so
I don't know.
Alright. So so the energy to your parents, did they ever have to make big decisions?
Yeah.
How did they do them? Did they really upset the apple cart, or did they just transfer to other something else similar? Were they sort of comfortable and they made their lives, you know, did they sort of stick with the status quo, or were they willing to actually change, upset the apple cart?
The real tension that I remember between my parents was when, so there were five of us. It's like, they kept having kids. That's another one. But so there was money problems. And so at one point, my father was working all day. And then a couple hours before my father went home, my mother had a night job. And so she'd be getting home really late at night. And so that was a lot of tension.
Okay, so your parents had this incredible work ethic, and they didn't care where they were, they just needed to make money.
Are you ready, man?
You don't think that affected you? And you have a hard time leaving your job right now because you don't like it, but your parents changed jobs they didn't really like, they just did it for the money? Because it was the right thing to do, and they wanted to provide for you, and they were good parents? You don't think that affects you?
Oh,
what else to do?
I don't know what I could do.
Okay. Then, so what are your options? This is the same thing with Robin here. You're not a victim of anything. Where's your victim in your chart? No, don't worry about it. Okay. Look. Everybody, in this scenario, what we're talking about here, you need to turn your victim into victorious. Okay? Victorious for you, and victorious for you might be very, very different. Right? It may be, yours may be actually staying in your job and liking it. Because I don't have any place else to go, so why do I worry about it? Okay? Why would I... You know, this is what I have, and I need the job. So you start taking your power back. This is where the victim feels like a victim of something because they don't understand what power is. Power is, if I don't want this job and I have power, I leave, whether I have a job or not. If I need this job and I can't leave without this, I can't live without this job, then I'm victorious by saying, this job doesn't own me. I own the job. I stay here as long as I want to. This is the power we're talking about taking back. Stuck in your life right now. So you need to go back and have your parents treat you like you wanted to be treated, like a charismatic leader, where they feed you whatever you want to be fed and take you wherever you want to be taken and take you to the park and do this, and you don't have to work and you don't have to be independent, because we're totally there for you, honey. We support you as a charismatic leader to do anything you want to do whenever you want to do it. Didn't we just do that yesterday? Almost every charismatic leader said, I want to do anything I want to do whenever I want to do it. Okay? So you did become... You did become independent and strong, but against them rather than for you. Now you have to choose it for you. And this is true for everyone. I mean, we're talking about the victim archetype is so powerful. It's the transcendence, right? What? You hate your job. When you go, isn't it victimizing you? As long as you have the belief that you don't belong at that job, it's like a relationship. If I can't stand to be in a relationship with you, and I'm constantly having to go, and it's like every day I come and see you, it's like, fuck, I'm victimizing myself. I'd like being with you, so it's not a problem. But anything you bring, it's like I hate pickles, and you eat them every goddamn day. I'm victimizing myself with something I don't like. You don't have to, the key is, if you can't get rid of it out of your life, then like it, okay? And figure out a way to find some other thing that gives you more, a hobby or something. Yeah.
So, why do we cling to this so thoroughly? I mean, I think it's like seals. They got that wound from their parents, and it's like...
The reason we do this meditation is because your lower chakras wired before you had a choice. They were pre-verbal. Your chakras wired because they didn't get their needs met, and you weren't aware. It was just like it just pulled away from that. Okay? So pre-verbally, your chakras pull away, right? Or when excessive. And we have to take back that kind of power in the lower chakras.
But why are we seals, or why is
everybody
so resistant to doing that?
The ego's so strong.
Because is it fear of suffering again? Do you think you protect yourself from sadness?
No, it's the bitterness.
Well, like you're being addicted to the bitter too.
Not just addicted to it. It became the entire relationship.
Right. But who will I be when I'm not that?
Right. Who would I be? What would I do with all that extra energy if I weren't angry at my parent for being what they were? And it gives you your entire identity was based around that, not getting that, right? You built yourself on that. And so now when we're asking you to get rid of it, to say, no, that's actually painful, because every time I send a negative thought toward my parent, and a lot of people even go to the extent where they say, I've forgiven them. But you have forgiven them, yeah.
Yes, I just went through something probably a month ago that's so similar. That's what shifted me come back in. And I realized that there were certain things I was hating, but I was getting a payoff from it, because those patterns were developed from a very young age, and there was nobody there to love that pattern. And I was always looking for someone else to love me, and realized the one that needed to love me was I needed to love the moon. So I'm realizing now, like in a relationship, I was always having someone to love me. I'm realizing, no, the perfect relationship was me. I need to love myself. And so I blame, my son died 5 years ago of alcoholism. I hated myself because of what my father did, that I hated myself for the way I treated my son. But everything I did for my son was hatred, because I had a sick belief of hate that I was holding on to, so I couldn't love. And then when I realized I need to turn that around, I said, I love you. I'm so sorry that I didn't love that little part of me that I was disowning or denying or suppressing. And then when I love that part of me, oh my God, the tears and the snots and the bawling came out, and all of a sudden I'm realizing that I need to love all of me. And everything on this earth is yearning to be loved. So I'm learning this lesson, and I'm so grateful that I'm willing to go through my pain and suffering and realizing that the pain and suffering is the stepping stone to love.
The more shit you put in the garden, the flowers, dude. Yes.
So, and I couldn't do it alone. Everybody else is helping me finally have the strength and the courage, because people are showing me what I couldn't see in myself by stepping up. So this is what it's all about. I cannot. I just like that. We all need each other.
So, what were you really
looking
for
here for? You know, we just talked about Rita and whether you're up the moon or the sun. You know, if you're up the moon, you know, you're already doing witchy stuff. And if you're up the moon, you're already disciplining yourself with meditation and things. So you don't really need me to tell you what to do. You can read that book and it'll tell you exactly what to do. But this is what you're dealing with right here. This resentment that you carry for your parents, this anger at yourself for not knowing what love is when you've never met anyone that knows what love is, because there is no love. There's this soul quality that moves through you, and it moves through you in so many different ways, and it isn't just the thing that comes through your heart. Your third chakra loves, your second chakra loves, your first chakra loves, and none of them, and that love could never, that soul quality that radiates through you can never be taken away by anybody except for you, except for your own choice to play smaller or to shove a vow in there that I'll never be, or I'll always be, or how dare they, and I'll never forgive. And you know, and as much as I think that Louise Hay is a little bit of a Pollyanna, you know, it's like, I just love myself forever, and that'll heal you. It does. If you actually believe it, it actually does, because the problem is that love, like God, like so many different things, it's been so just, you know, distorted in our understanding of what it even means, that when someone says you need to love yourself more, you can't undo that from a behavior. It's like loving myself is not ever even thinking about having to love myself. You know, at first when you've been hating yourself, you gotta, there's a real shift in behavior, but eventually I just allow myself to be, and you know, there's things that I wish I could have done differently in the past, but I didn't know enough. I didn't know any better. I was wounded. I was angry. That was the only programming I had. Now, so here we are, and you're being faced with something in your life that's not working, and now we've pointed out that it might be a pattern that you could actually work with by challenging something, you know, by really, you know, doing this meditation, doing this type of work, or looking at your job and saying, you know, it may not be your parents that taught you this, but your chances are really good. Things like jobs and relationships and that sort of stuff that really, you know, was there. But most importantly, in all this stuff, keep in mind that. The wound you took was because you already knew what you wanted. This is why this exercise works. You are the only reason that you made a vow against something, the only reason that you got wounded by your parents, was because you already knew and you know exactly what you want. And when they didn't give it to you, when they couldn't give it to you, because that was the part of them they had rejected as well. And they took that beautiful energy that you have that then needs exactly what they needed. They had already said, I'm never going to need that. And so they're never going to give it to you. Right? And so the reality is that when you do this exercise, as you do this exercise and do it more and more, you're going to keep remembering, oh yeah, I always knew I wanted that. Okay. I want my mom to dress up like Mickey Mouse and run around the room, and I want to have a silly mom. I want to have a dad who's always there. I want to have a dad who takes me on a plane somewhere. I want to have a dad, whatever it is. Whatever it was that you wanted and needed, you do it, and you don't complain about it, and you don't say, well, they wouldn't have ever done that, because that's your excuse to, and that excuse for not being able to do that in your relation, in this exercise, think about from that moment when you decided that I will never ask for that again, what complete swaths of your life could you never see again? You couldn't get any energy out of it. It was like you couldn't know how to love your son, right? You couldn't know. Because there was...
What I'm trying to say out of all this, that's my gift. I want to be able to speak. I always thought I was still holding on to out of that wound. So what I wrote through a month ago was I want to come back here to have the guts to be able to stand up and speak because I'm realizing what my gift is. So everything I went through, okay, I'm not stuck on not loving myself. I love who I am. When I started to love myself, that's when I was able to see the truth. The lie and the illusion was in the damage that I've done to myself. I needed to love myself. And now I'm speaking up, I don't have the fear. But before, I was still hanging on to, I'm not good enough. So I need to really let go. So I'm actually agreeing with everything you're saying, but I'm not stuck in that. I really feel like unconditionally I am loving myself. And I'm learning to receive.
So what does that look like? What does that look like?
I've been waiting for this my whole life. It's like, it's beautiful. I feel like I'm finally blossoming into what I was meant to blossom into.
So what's the difference about speaking the truth here?
What's going on? Hang on. What's going on?
She's still mad.
I get it. What are we mad about, and what do you need that you didn't get?
I didn't feel appreciated.
You didn't feel appreciated?
My
for what? In your whole family?
I didn't care.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So you became the strong one, and it wasn't what you wanted, because you knew you didn't want to do that, but you knew your parents were so irresponsible that you had to. Okay. So the leader stood up and took the leadership role that you didn't really want, but it strengthened you and created your leader in you. You've developed the power to be a leader. Right? So the things that we do in our lives, there's nothing wrong with them, they're just the same energy going sideways. Right? And so now, what if you wanted to be treated like a princess, or taken care of.
That
makes
sense.
But
she wanted a small ownership. Princess doesn't get it right. Just a thing. That's
just
a single.
Look, so Kelly, just let in that I just offered you princess, and you were like, well, fuck, I don't even want that much. Just a little bit would have been doing because those bastards, right? Right? Why not princess? Why not queen? Why not, master of the universe? Anything you want. But you see, as soon as even princess, which was just like, I thought that was like a little edge. All of a sudden, it's like, well, I couldn't even ask for that. That would be, they'd never do that. Who would that? No, never. Why not? What do you really want? The exercise isn't called, what might you want if they approved of it?
Maybe it should be.
It certainly is for some people, right? It's called, what do you want?
What do you really want?
Because what you don't understand is that what you wanted when you were 2 or 3 will never change. What you wanted from your mother is what you want from every woman in the world. What you wanted from your father is what you want from every man in the world.
So if I do that meditation, right?
So what comes straight?
Be very careful.
Again?
Yeah. Back to that.
You might become gay.
Hey, you know, don't do it.
Don't go to the dark side.
I'm really upset, Kim.
So if I do that meditation and I, you know, get what I want and everything, well, you know, then I'm going to be responsible for myself and I don't have anybody to blame. Then I have to make all the choices. And I have to manage my own life. And I don't have anybody to blame when it goes bad except me.
And blame
so why would I do that?
And everybody's like, oh, I don't blame my parents anymore. But it's hard to hire any of you to blame. You're not blaming your parents. You're just punishing your children. You're punishing your husband. You're punishing everybody else around you constantly. You just don't walk away. I mean, same thing with trying to walk away from Howard. You're staying in it just to punish him more.
Good girl.
Unconscious. I know, it's not good girl. It's unconscious. When you punish someone else, the knife goes both ways. Okay? It feels good when you're doing it, but it goes both ways. Your resentment is a killer.
I have to say this.
Go ahead.
I chose the perfect parents. Okay?
Yeah.
I chose the perfect parents and allowed myself to be mistreated so I could master people standing up for themselves.
There's no question that each of us have contracts with our parents to not love us in a very specific way. We chose them because they weren't going to do it. But the most important thing for you to walk away with here is this just this very simple statement that there's nothing that ever happened in my life that wasn't the best thing that ever happened to me. Nothing. And I was given everything I ever needed, I just squandered it. But it's never gone away. You have every ounce of energy, you have the access to every ounce of energy you've ever had in your life to heal, to transform, to change jobs, to change relationships, to change attitude toward how I'm going to live or who I'm going to be in a relationship with, to change who serves me, right? Whatever it is, the energy that you have, and you have the perfect energy. Your parents gave you energy. You chose to see them as their behaviors. You chose to let their behaviors and their emotional, or their own emotional wounding, program your emotions away from what you already knew your soul emotions were. That's why we do the balls. Because the balls, actually, you have an emotion that has nothing to do with any of these emotions you're having around the things you can't deal with in your life. Right? So this is real power. We're talking, the reason this is so difficult is because this is real power. Real power is, I have exactly what I need. Why am I not using it?
So, just to get a little clear, so the power we get from this meditation.
Yeah.
Like my mom, I got a crown to go shine and be that person. My dad was that I needed to be the most important thing in his life. Little girl, we stood up on a porch and he declared, "This is Debbie, this is my daughter, she's like the most important thing to me." So is that energy that I need to bring back into me for me to have for myself, or that's what I'm going to need for others? From others. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. When you didn't get what your soul needed, what your parents were clearly capable of giving you because they have the identical energy that you have and the identical need. And so they could easily have given it to you, but they didn't give it to you. Right? That's where you decide you don't deserve it. You understand?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. And then you will never ask for it again. And if you do, you feel guilt and shame around it. You vow to never need it because you clearly didn't deserve it. And it must not be anything to do with my purpose in life because I'm never going to get it anyway. And so now we go through our lives choosing not to leave our job or our relationship or whatever because maybe I don't deserve happiness. I don't deserve that change. or I don't deserve to stay in it and make it work with all the power I've got. And but it's like, I deserve a happy life. I deserve. What do you deserve? And I know deserve is a terrible word, right? It's one of the evil words, right? I deserve to have a better life. Usually it's about a big baby who's making that statement. But what you deserve is what your soul contracted for in this lifetime. And you have to be able to feel deserving of that and ask for it. And so this meditation teaches you to ask for that. So your dad put you up on a pedestal one day. Next time you do this meditation, maybe he takes you for a car ride. Or maybe you're a teenager and he teaches you how to drive. Or maybe, and you do this enough times that you remember having a father who did everything you ever wanted to do. And you remember that that's just telling me, oh. And so now, when you meet a man, or you have your husband, or you have your whatever it is, you have a boss, you teach them how to treat you, right? You just teach them. It's like, this is what, I love this. And you hold the energy of that, you hold it there, and when they do it, you reinforce it. You don't say, well, I don't need that anyway, because I don't deserve it. And we need to go and meditate. But I want you to understand, this is real power. You're going to challenge every reason that you don't take your power by that meditation. Okay?
I'm going to go around after this chair stacked up there. So
Everybody? We can go out this way.
Ooh.
And over.
You have done amazing work, and you're going to have fun tonight, and relax, and chill out, and do, like, relentless self-care.
We've done this on a translator. I love that.